Right, Titus chapter 1. We've come to a bit of a turning point. We've left behind the knots. Things not, or that the man of God should not be, or not do, or not be given to. Now we're coming to the things that he should be, or should do. And those are always fun. I'd rather be told what I ought to be doing than be told what I ought not be doing. They're both important, but I enjoy the do this, you know, because you feel like you're making some forward progress instead of stop, stop, stop. Now we can move forward. And this first one that we're doing, number 6 tonight, a lover of hospitality, is really, really important, not just for the pastor, but for every Christian, which we'll see tonight. So Titus chapter 1. Verse 5, Paul tells Titus, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless." And that's the header here, as the steward of God. "Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Now in the scripture, we read quite a bit about hospitality here and there, but really the word is not used a whole lot. So we're going to look at every usage of it. Even in the Greek, where it was used one time, it was translated not hospitality, but entertain. And so we understand those things are kind of synonymous. We say, well, we're going to entertain guests tonight. We understand we're trying to be hospitable. The word's interesting. I was always told that the root of the word hospitality or hospitable was hospital. It was interesting. The word actually goes back earlier than that or further than that. And it comes from the word host, which we understand, and actually grew out of the French and the Latin, the word for hostile. And you say, well, what does that have to do with hospitality? We think they were opposite. Well, the idea was, and I'm not even in my notes yet, I'm just rambling because I know these aren't, I didn't put this in my notes. Those, I found it very interesting. The idea was you're able to take someone who is hostile and turn them into a friend through hospitality. You can take someone who is hostile, an enemy, and make them a guest and make them a friend. And so it was a very interesting word, just the etymology, how that word kind of came to be in our language. So let's talk about hospitality. In our country, the hospitality industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. It's an industry that depends on the availability of leisure time and disposable income. And a restaurant, or a hotel, or a casino, those are considered hospitality units. And typically they're staffed with servers and with people to do the dishes and porters and housekeepers and management and marketing and human resources and all those types of things and billions of dollars. So in other words, the world capitalizes on the fact that everybody loves hospitality. It turns out people are willing to pay really, really good money to find someone who's hospitable. The truth is, you and I aren't any different. If we're going to go somewhere to eat or go somewhere to stay, don't you look for good recommendations? I know I do. And whenever we have a bad experience with a server or someone somewhere, we're sure to tell everyone, listen, I had a very bad experience there. They weren't hospitable. And so we spread that kind of information. We Yelp and we review and we look on, what's that, TripAdvisor and all those types of things to find out where people are most hospitable. If you had the choice between two hotels that cost the same, and one had a 5-star hospitality rating, and one had a 1-star hospitality rating, which one would you pick? Without a doubt, we would all go for the 5-star. We choose the one that had a better idea of what the hospitality industry was. Does anyone ever look for a restaurant that boasts voted worst service anywhere? Nobody goes there. We want the best. We want the most hospitable. Titus 1 verse 8. God calls the pastor to be a lover of hospitality. When he talks to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 3, 2, he says he must be given to hospitality. And it's synonymous, but perhaps a slightly different emphasis. Given to hospitality. He loves to be hospitable. He should not have a hospitality industry mindset. He should have a hospitality ministry mindset. Hospitality industry has to do with, I'm going to be hospitable because I can get something. That's what the hospitality industry is. I believe that the minister ought to recognize that hospitality is a tool, and we'll get to that. We should all see that. But here he should be a lover of hospitality. He should be given over to hospitality. It should be a ministry. He should not be hospitable to see what he can get back. He should be a person who genuinely loves to be hospitable. Instead of saying, how can I benefit? Or how can my church benefit? Or how can my ministry benefit from being hospitable? The hospitality ministry asks, how can others be benefited by my hospitality? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. We've seen two uses of it. Titus 1 verse 8, 1 Timothy 3 verse 2, where the bishop must love hospitality and be given to it. But Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us that the hospitality ministry is not just for the pastor. And like all these things, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And when the pastor shouldn't do it, really no one else should do it. If the pastor should do it, really everyone else should do it also. But the pastor should be an example. And so it's pretty important if you're going to endorse a man's lifestyle. Just understand that these things are important. Look at verse 6, Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And so we have to understand that hospitality is a tool that God has given to us. I believe it's an invention. Just as the home was God's invention, hospitality is God's invention as well. Let's define hospitality quickly. Webster defines it as this: the act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward or with kind and generous liberality. It is the simple and yet profound act of making guests feel at home. It's the ability to take someone who is a stranger to your house and making them feel as though it were their home. That's not easy to do. That's a lot of work. I say it's simple, but yet it's really profound. And it does not come easily. It does not come as naturally to some as it does to others. Some of us need to work harder at it than others. Arnold Glasgow said, some folks make you feel at home. Others make you wish you were. And we're all somewhere on that spectrum. Some of us it's easier than others. Let me give you a quick rundown of some things that hospitality is not. Hospitality is not a home that never gets messed up. Hospitality is not children who never misbehave. Hospitality is not an exquisitely decorated home. Hospitality is not a delicious five-course meal. Hospitality is not any of those things. You could have all of those things present and still not be hospitable. My wife and I were visiting someone one time, and we were there for a ministry visit, and we were trying to speak to this elderly lady about her soul, and it was evident that she did not want us there. But she had us in. She had us sit. She got us drinks. And the whole time, do you remember that, Jamie? The whole time it was so cold. I mean, it was frosty in there. And you could just tell. And she did all the right things. But we felt so uncomfortable. She was not being hospitable. We've been in other homes. I think of these young people that we dealt with, some of the Korean young people who came to America by way of Myanmar. They were pushed out of Burma, and then they went somewhere to an internment camp. To where?
Thailand.
And then they came to Akron because of the International Institute. You've probably seen some of these folks walking up and down. They have these strange hats that they wear and things like that. They're from Burma. And we had a lot of them coming to our church because of Tim Wilkes, and he had a real good ministry with them. And so my wife and I worked with the teenagers, and we'd go into their homes, and they would have nothing. They would invite us. They would have a sheet hung up so they could go in that and change behind the sheet, change their clothes. But they would have their clothes in piles on the floor. We would come in, and they would give us the milk carton crates to sit on, you know, those little cube things. You sit here, and we'll sit on the floor. They're so sweet. They shared with us what they had, and you felt so comfortable, and you felt so accepted, and you felt so at home. That is hospitality. It's not all those things that I listed. And I list those things because a lot of times when we want to be hospitable, Satan puts up in our mind, well, this is what hospitality is. We get a picture of Better Homes and Gardens, and it should say Better Homes and Gardens Than Yours, you know, because that's what it is. You flip through and say, oh, I don't have this. I'd be so embarrassed to have someone into my place. And so we get these excuses, and the devil puts those excuses in our minds to keep us from really being hospitable and entertaining guests and entertaining others. So I read a really good article preparing for this message from a lady named Bonnie Furso, and she's a teacher down at West Coast Baptist College, and she wrote some articles on hospitality, and I borrowed some things that she said. And women work hard at being hospitable, probably more than men. You know, if I have someone over, I want to show them my garage where I have a workspace, and it's messy and dirty. I want to show them my office upstairs and all my line of books, and I don't care about all the other stuff. And get a drink out of the fridge, and we hang out in our socks, and, you know, it's fun. Like, we have a good time. But ladies work hard at this, and so I found this interesting article from Bonnie Furso, and I thought I'd read you some things she had to say. She said the main excuses people make for being hospitable are this: our house isn't clean, we're too busy, we don't have the money, I'm too tired, we don't have a nice house, we don't have nice furniture, we don't have enough room, and I have small children. Now, those all work together, and she made some points that I think might help us tonight, and I'll give you these real quick. She said, hospitality is important because people in our day need to see the inside of a Christian home. And I thought that was very helpful. Hospitality is important because it gives you a chance to be personable. Being hospitable allows us to be obedient to God's command to be hospitable. Hospitality shows people that they're accepted and loved, and hospitality gives the gift of encouragement. Is it hard work? Without a doubt it's hard work. But the pros outweigh the cons. And so it's not something that we should shy away from. It's something that we should strive to do. I thought something else, I don't have this in my notes, but I thought it was funny. She said, being hospitable helps her keep a clean home. She said, I can clean my house better in 10 seconds from the living room to the door when the doorbell rings than I can in 2 hours when I'm not expecting somebody over. I said, well, there might be some truth to that. But the truth is, we belong to the Lord. Our homes are not showpieces. They're gifts from God, and they're tools that He wants us to use. They belong to the Lord. They should be used for His glory and His kingdom. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would. Believers are encouraged and blessed when we're hospitable to them. The lost can see who we really are and how we really live when we invite them in our homes and serve them with a cheerful, Christ-like attitude. I found one of the biggest difficulties in our day to witness to people is that they are afraid of us. They don't understand us. They don't understand what goes on in here. I'm talking about coming to church. Oh, they don't know what it's like. They have no clue what the inside of a church building is like. They think we come in here and talk about how much we hate everybody and how angry we are at the world. And they have that idea. They have that mindset. I remember when I finally got Akeem to come into the, and he wouldn't mind me telling the story, but when I finally got him to come into our Bible study on Tuesday night, he said, man, I had no idea what it would be like. I know that he would listen outside. He doesn't know that I know. But my kids, when they get up to his restroom, they caught him a couple times just hanging out outside, just listening. They didn't know. And then we were going to come to church together. He said, hey, brother, what is church like? What is it like? You know? And if people knew us, we could have a bigger impact. And so I think it's very important. Look at this, 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So hospitality is a tool that we ought to use, and we ought to use it without grudging. What that means is we ought to cheerfully use hospitality. I don't want anyone in here to say, oh, I'm going to be hospitable because pastor says that I should. No. I'm going to be hospitable because, you know, I have to do that in order to be obedient to God. So I'm going to make myself. No. Use it without grudging. Find the joy in ministering to others in your place. Hospitality is an extreme form of giving. We give of our time, we give of our space, our chairs, our food, our drink, our attention, even our homes to others for a short but very labor-intensive amount of time. Would you flip over to the book of Hebrews real quick? I want to show you an interesting thought, and I'll leave you with this because I just find this to be fascinating. And I wonder how many opportunities I've missed. But Hebrews chapter 13. Use hospitality. It's hard work, but the benefits, the blessings outweigh the burdens. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Oh, and one other thing. Every time we see hospitality outside of the pastoral epistles, whenever it's directed towards the church, it's always in the same context of love and fervent charity. And so the Lord is expressing to us that one of the greatest ways to show your love for the body of Christ is to be hospitable to them. One of the things I've noticed about this church is that we do a very good job of being hospitable when people come in. And I think that's good. I think that's great. It needs to be that way. But anyways, look at this. let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain. And there it is right there. It's the same Greek word. To entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now the idea of entertaining strangers, the same idea of one who's hospitable. It's the same Greek word that's used in Romans 12 verse 13. And the idea right here is great. We are to be hospitable to anyone when God gives us the opportunity because we don't know who it is that we're serving. You see someone who has a need and you're able to meet that need by entertaining them, by working to meet that need. You don't know who you're serving. You don't know their true identity. And the writer says that some people have entertained angels without even knowing it. Could you imagine that? Now, there are two ways to look at this, and I think both are important. The word angel just means messenger. That's what the word means. In the scripture, it's used for, actual angels, like legitimate angels. And it's also used for just men who are messengers. So I believe it's possible for you to entertain someone at your home or at your church, even at your place of business, but make them feel at home and minister to their needs. I think it's possible for you to entertain someone and be entertaining a messenger of God. And I don't even know that they would have to be a saved person necessarily. You could have someone in and you minister to their needs, and before they left, God has spoken to you and God has worked a change in you that is, you're not able to explain it. But God works in you. Would you go to Genesis 18? It's entirely possible the person you serve is just a normal human. But there's a story in the Bible that comes to my mind every time I read this verse. And it's the story of a man who entertained literal angels. Could you imagine that you have the opportunity to entertain an angel in your house, and you miss the opportunity? Wouldn't that be something? So Paul, the writer of Hebrews, says, be careful to entertain strangers. For some have entertained angels unawares. Now, in the story we're about to read, Abraham entertains some angels, and I believe a pre-incarnate Christ. So someone will say, well, he knew who he was serving. But you'll see in this story, there's a young man who ministers and entertains and is hospitable, and he doesn't know who he's serving. And so there's some interesting thoughts there. Genesis 18, look at verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that, ye shall pass on. Therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, I believe Abraham recognized who these people were, especially the one person. Abraham got it. But Sarah didn't know. This young man didn't know. Abraham rushed to meet their needs. The young man rushed to meet the needs. And Sarah, in obedience, she rushed to meet these needs. There's some interesting things here. Abraham, I think, is an excellent host. I'm going to give you five things to consider of what Abraham did in this situation to be hospitable. Number one, he met their traveling needs by bringing them water to wash their feet. So he considered their needs for traveling and walking on these dusty roads. So he brought them water to wash their feet. He met their traveling needs. Number two, he met their need for comfort by setting them down under the tree on a nice, cool, refreshing, shady spot. And on a hot day, it's been muggy these past few days, hasn't it? It's nice to find a good, shady spot to sit. He met their comfort, their need for comfort. Number three, he met their need for food by preparing bread cakes, butter, milk, and veal. That's a good meal right there. Number four, he attended their needs throughout the day. If you notice in verse 8, he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. As they sat and rested under the tree, what did Abraham do? He stood, he attended their needs. And then number five, Abraham involved his household in the service. And I think that's wonderful too. Got everybody involved, being hospitable. There's a spiritual dimension. There's a spiritual reality to what we do. If our eyes could be open, there might be angels in this very room, right here, right now, ministering spirits sent by God. I like that story where the young man's eyes are opened up and he looks around the hillside and he sees all of these heavenly hosts there that had come, and they were there the whole time. He just didn't recognize them. And the Lord tells us that one of the ways to minister to his own when they come is to minister to everyone. Minister to everyone. Minister to the stranger. All Christians should be hospitable. The pastor should be an example. The man of God should be a lover of hospitality. He should see its benefits, and he should strive to use this wonderful tool that God has given. And I believe we all should as well. Are there any questions about hospitality or any feedback from the lesson tonight? All right. And then other than that, look forward to seeing you all on Saturday or Sunday for Sunday school, and look forward to it. All right. God bless you. May he guide you and keep you as you go. You are dismissed.